Well, this morning we begin a new teaching series entitled Prayer, Unlocking the Possibilities for Your Life. And as we get started, check out the story about Eduardo Perez. In 1996, Perez, a Spaniard, was visiting Stockholm. While there, he stopped off to pray at a Roman Catholic church. While at the church, Perez prayed for a man whose body lie there in a coffin. When he had finished praying, out of respect for the deceased, he signed the guest book. Perez was later notified that the deceased real estate developer Jens Svensson had died without heirs and had specified that whoever prays for my soul gets all my belongings. Overnight, Eduardo Perez had become a multi-millionaire. Now, wouldn't it be great if prayer yielded results like that all the time? But I'm here to tell you that while prayer may not yield us $1 million, prayer does unlock possibilities for our lives. Prayer always has an impact. Prayer does make a difference. So what possibilities do you want to unlock in your life? Have you been waiting for God to break through in a certain area of your life? Well, you know, the Bible is full of people who were tested with tough situations, tough circumstances, and the common ingredient that allowed these heroes of faith to experience breakthroughs and unlock new possibilities in their lives was their desire to seek after, was their desire to hunger after God. Christian comedian Ken Davis tells a story about waiting for a sign from God. A Christian gets on an empty city bus, walks to the rear, and sits down. He prays, "Lord, if you want me to speak to someone about you, give me a sign." At the next stop, another passenger boards the bus, goes all the way to the back of the bus, and sits down right next to the Christian. The passenger then leans over and says to the Christian, "Hey, do you know anything about Jesus?" The Christian excuses him for a moment and slowly bows his head and once again prays, "Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. Please turn the bus driver into an armadillo." So what about you and me? I mean, have we been praying for armadillos? I mean, have we been waiting for a sign? Serious, really serious about being all in? All. Have we been waiting for a line in order to unlock new possibilities in our life? We must pack. We must get serious. I mean, really serious about serving. And when we get serious about God, then and only then. So in this series, we'll explore how to supercharge our prayer life. So if you brought a Bible or can take hold of one, I invite you to do so. Prophet Daniel and how to pray when times are tough. But first, of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock. And we're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at Prophet Daniel. We're going to take a look at what we see modeled in the life of Daniel about how to pray when times. Listen to God. Step number one is listen to God. God always makes the first move in our lives. We do nothing outside of God's wooing, moving, and his call. Move. God always goes first. He makes the first move. And he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us long before we breathe our life, our mind, our brain, everything. Do this. No, God always initiates. God always starts things rolling. We always respond to what God. Bible. In the Bible written over 3,500 years ago by 66 different authors, "God, you said this, so I'm asking you to do this." And God, you listen to God. Well, again, by reading God's book. And in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, we find that Daniel, at this yearning to go back home to Israel. going back home to Jerusalem. So Daniel knows that the 70 years is done and not bring them back home to Jerusalem. So in Daniel chapter, understood from the scriptures, according to the world, until after 70 years had come and gone. And so has Daniel not listened to God? Had Daniel not those in the word of God, he would not have been aware. If we're ignorant of the scriptures, if we don't know the Bible, then we won't know the day of our life, so we can learn the promises God has made for you. And I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And I will do it. This promise is based on our asking, means that we ask for things that Jesus would be willing to sign off his passion and his will. So if we were to pray, Lord God, for that grace to forgive, he's going to provide the grace. Means that we ask in accordance to his will and desire. Jesus wouldn't sign his name to that. You know, I've been praying for a Harley for a long time. Sign my name to anything like that? Then no, because the condition is, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. But for that to happen, we must remain in him and his important conditions. We need to ask ourselves, am I saying to get right, but haven't got right yet? So we need to take a close look at harmony with God. Bottom line, God is saying that if we would listen, it will be done. So if we're praying and nothing's happening, God honoring life, are we spending time soaking up the scriptures on a regular basis? Little discipline we can do that will actually help us walk through the New Test plan, and by investing 5 minutes, 5 days a week, we can walk through the New Test. And if we'll do this, I guarantee this will revolutionize our lives. And listen to what he has to say. God will unlock all kinds of possibilities, because this guarantee isn't my guarantee, it's God's guarantee. And they have a wonderful reunion. Lucy says to Aslan, who wrapped me bigger, and what was true with Lucy is true with you and me. We'll find God bigger. We'll find his grace and his good help. So step number one to praying when times are tough, we got to listen. So number one, step two, focus. We focus on God. We get serious about this Jesus. We get serious about our fellowship. Daniel literally turned to the Lord. He totally focused on us. When we talk with someone, you have to look at me, Daddy. And then pay attention. You're not paying attention. The highest gift we can give to others is our attention. We're giving them our lives. It's important. Here I am. Good morning, God. Good morning, God. I'm here. There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to close our eyes and bow our heads. Personally, I like, but when my eyes are open, I talk out loud. I look up to the Father. I got this neat picture. I like to look at that picture when I pray, because I see this happy Jesus way or approach to do it. But you need to do what works for you. What focus our attention on him. Now, check this out. I think it's really cool. This verse doesn't just say who not only exists, but rewards those who seek him. So in that, would we like God to reward our marriage? Seek him. Would we like God to reward? God is going to reward with his provision, with his blessing, with his, because you did your own thing. You didn't invite me in. I'm wanting. I'm on the edge of my throne. I'm invited. We have not because we ask. Tangled up, maybe in relationships, almost all of that stuff. People fail to focus on God when they don't seek his guidance or wisdom or help or direction. Wise choices, because they were choices not rooted in God's. Bottom line, much of the problems and pain people experience in life come because they need pieces to put back together. The fact is, if in every area, anytime we ignore God, and don't ask for his help, and don't ask for, what do I need God to unlock in my life today? Where do I need God's help? Maybe it's that we messed up because of our own unwise choices. Life today, whatever difficulty we are facing right now, if we would first start shove ourselves off our throne and put God there, He will. We listen, we focus, now we thank. We thank God. We want to thank God for our entire life. You and I are to live always with an attitude of gratitude. Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those, a God who is constantly faithful. And further down in verse 9, God blesses us in spite of ourselves. So even though we trip us, His mercy and forgiveness is overwhelming. Through His word, we then focus our attention on God, your loving, forgiving, good, and merciful. We thank God for His love and promise. First, let's take a moment and ask ourselves a few questions. Do I make God truly the centerpiece of my life? Thankful for what God has done in my life? Do I live with an attitude of gratitude? He can break through in our lives in new and profound ways, and He's on the edge of His throne in heaven, eager to meet all our needs according to the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. He's eager to reward us. He's eager to bless us, to show us the way, the truth, and the life, to provide grace and strength equal to every need. He's eager to show us what needs to be shown in our lives. He's eager to bless, provide, and lead us forward into the magnificent future He set before us. God is eager to reward us. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to seek Him, to call on His name, to take Him seriously, and to invite Him into our lives. God is always just a prayer away. Remember, we have not, because we ask not, because we listen not, because we seek not. God's ready. The question is, are we? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a good and gracious God. Thank You for Your promise that if we stay connected to You and have Your word in our hearts, we can ask what we will in Jesus' name, and it will be done. And Father God, we want to learn to seek You, to build the habit of spending time in Your word on a regular basis. And help us, Father, to see that Your plan for our lives involves Your timing and our praying, and that many times we have not because we ask not. Teach us, Father, how to focus our attention on You. God, it is so easy to get distracted in this world. So we want to turn our face to You. Lord, break our hearts over things that break Your heart. And thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You for Your promises, Your many, many promises. Thank You that You are faithful when we're unfaithful, that You're consistent when we're inconsistent. And thank You, Father, that when we come and humble ourselves to You and admit what we're doing wrong, You embrace us and forgive us. You wrap us in Your everlasting arms. God, we ask You to work in our hearts and lives always for Your honor, for Your glory. And if we're here this morning and we've never invited Christ into our lives, might we simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life right now. Make Yourself real to me. Make me the person You want me to be. I want to learn to trust You, and I want You to be the manager of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 352 in our hymnals. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Written by African-American slave poets, this hymn reminds us that we're all standing in the need of prayer. So as we sing this hymn this morning, let us remember that God is ready. He's sitting on the edge of His throne. He's ready to unlock possibilities in our lives. We just need to listen and seek him. We just need to thank him for what he's done and for what he's about to do. We just need to pursue him in prayer. So let us stand, if able, and sing together, "It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer."